You're tuned into the new Old Heads Podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon at bringingdowntheband.com and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, Printfinity, and Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the new Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
Episode 120 of the New Old Heads Podcast. I am Major 7. I make beats, I have a hard drive.
Who cares?
I'm not going to say what I normally say because fools told me I got to find something else. So I'm still working on that.
It's just a suggestion.
Thank you, brother. In front of me, Longevity, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. Good to see you as always.
Yes, sir.
In the corner, fresh to death, rocking a Printfinity ensemble as well as a tree sat. DJ J Diff. That is your design, by the way, correct?
Salutations. Actually, me and TR.
Okay. Make sure you get that credit out.
Yeah.
But that is still as fresh. I actually caught one of those. I have a black one at the crib. So Printfinity doing what Printfinity does.
Exactly.
So we appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
I'm going to skip over the head of the table. I'm coming back to my immediate left, the incomparable DJ Spools.
Hello, Michael.
How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I like the throwback Jerome Bettis. I see you out here.
Thanks, man. He's my favorite Notre Dame. Well, yeah, probably one of my favorite Notre Dame players of all time.
Okay. Not mad at that.
He was incredible. Watched him as a kid, you know.
Shout out to the bus.
Him and Rocket Ishmael are probably my top two.
Yeah, bus. Okay. Shout out to the bus. Super
and then
Bowl
Joe
champion.
Montana. I mean, it's hard, dude. There's a lot of good players.
Hannah Montana.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Spools, but how many people get to win the Super Bowl in their hometown? Was it in Detroit when Pittsburgh won?
I believe it was,
right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Jerome
was really special. I mean, that was awesome for him, man. He seems like a really great guy, too. I've never met him, but he seems awesome, and you always hear pretty good things about him, and I like his commentary on football, too. So,
shout out
to Jerome Bettis.
Shout out to the bus. And sitting at the head of the table, we have a guest, special guest today. This young man, I call him the greatest freestyler that I've ever heard. In person, live. I'll stand on that. I will put him up against anyone. It's not a 2019 freestyle. We're talking about actually off the head, off the top. He's the best that I've ever seen in person, on wax, whatever you want to call it. He's the coldest. So anybody that wants to challenge this young man, I got my money on him. He's the coldest I've ever seen. Big Skits is with us. Pro Forms, Cut Camp, Mud Kids. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You also Breakdown Kings.
Breakdown Kings.
Oh, I forgot.
No, it's all good. That's why I'm
balls
here.
Balls deep. In your
shouts to those. Yeah.
The homie Skits is with us. We appreciate you spending some time with us, brother.
No, I appreciate it as well. Long overdue.
Yeah, I agree. Long overdue. They say you out here in these streets, you know what I'm saying, getting 600 series and whatnot out here with your bowling game. Is that true? That's what I heard.
That is correct.
Oh yeah,
I would not say that I am on a consistent click.
Okay,
for 600, but I believe my book average is a 192.
So for that 600, you probably shot 220, 240-ish, and then about 180, 190,
like a 189, a 235, yeah. And something else in between that.
Okay,
I don't feel like doing the math right now.
It's all good. It's all good. We bottom line, we know you nice. You know what I'm saying?
Most weeks, most weeks. Like tonight was a 193 average.
Okay, I'm sure your squad is probably top four in the league.
I'm not good. I'm not the best one on the team.
It's all good. It's all good. You're nicer to me because I ain't been in a while.
Okay.
So that's why?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a pee. I'm nice, though. I told Red August. Shout out to Red August. I told Red August I beat the brakes off him. We're going to set it up for a medium boneless wing from, what we say, B-Dubs, Red August. Yeah, so we gonna bowl for that.
Skits will be there. That's the bet.
Skits will be there to, I guess, officiate or whatever.
I heard you was out in Orlando bowling. I mean, playing golf with Trump. Is that true?
You're out there in Mar-a-Lago? That's how it's pronounced.
Dang, Mike.
No, don't be drinking or bringing down the band cup when you do that.
No, I'm gonna let the violence go around real
violence?
Quick. Yeah. Cyberbullying and whatnot. This is on the internet. Yeah, I was in Orlando. You know what I'm saying? Played a little golf, relaxed. Had to unplug for a little bit. It was fun.
You balling, huh?
No. No, I went out there on food stamps.
Oh.
Yeah. So
how's that work?
Huh?
How's that work?
Southwest taking food stamps. You don't know nothing about that yet.
Evidently not.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you about it.
That's why you can stick your debit card in the luggage.
Yeah.
Got that right.
And leave it in that bitch.
I ain't spent no bread, though. Look at the Lord. 77 degrees in Orlando was very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so had a good time.
I'm sure you did.
Man, oh, man. How about that?
Shout out to that book of food stamps. All right, so episode 120. Before we get started.
Where'd you get this book of food stamps, though? Because food stamps haven't came in a book.
In a minute.
Since maybe the late 80s. Okay. Probably.
I feel you. So you just count my pockets now because I use a book of food stamps?
No, I mean, they might be worth some money.
They still
if you
good?
A, you know what I mean?
That's the question. Yeah.
Or maybe it just kind of shows how much you're really fabricating everything you're saying.
No. So what you're saying is you're making fun of people that
I got it.
That use food stamps?
He had the food stamp card. It was left inside his luggage as well.
Okay.
So he wasn't able to eat.
Shout out to the link card.
This is all making sense now.
Shout out to the link card that people get in Chicago that Jay Diff is making fun of. We see y'all. Use what you got to use.
Okay.
If you used a book.
Yeah.
That's fraud.
Oh, I'm. Oh.
Somebody's getting cheated.
That's fraud.
Yo. If Skits, I got respect. I got a lot of respect for Skits. So if he says, I use. Book of food stamps illegally.
We're
gonna
false
roll with
advertising.
That.
Ooh,
hey man, a book of car. See what you did book there. Of stamps is yeah. not. There's no chip reader in that.
Okay,
just chip reader these days.
Well, since everybody on here is told on me, we can go ahead and get started now.
Oh, we didn't tell the story, but
I mean they'll be looking for me anyway.
You told on yourself, Michael.
Thank you, Bradley. Episode 120. Shout out to the sponsors, Coleman Dental, 317-255-8546. Printfinity, as always, is a brand. We shouted them out with the Fresh Donuts joint there. Bringing Down the Band, as always, is the hub. Indie CD and Vinyl as well. We appreciate their partnership also. Did I leave anybody no bad ideas? As always, they lace us as well. So let's go ahead and jump into I shouted you out. Jay Moore is in the building as well. He's running around here somewhere. Well, we talked about our bet. They know you hear Red August. Shout out to Red August.
Say my name, say my name.
Everybody always all in the videos trying to.
Everybody.
All right, so I believe it's, I'm going to try it. Kamala Harris, I believe. If I said it wrong, I apologize.
Maybe I thought it was
that's
Kamala.
That lady name.
That's that.
There we go.
Thank you, J. Diff.
Ms. Harris.
So she was on a Breakfast Club. I did not see the interview, but I saw my timeline on social media being flooded with what she, I guess, said about a couple hip-hop artists. So, Tupac, Snoop, she said she listened to them in college. J. Diff, we had this convo prior to coming on.
How old is she?
I'm going to get to that now. Oh, she said she smoked weed as well in college, but from what I saw, she graduated from law school in 1989. So
we got to go back to when she actually graduated from...
Howard would have been
86.
Yeah, 86. And then law school, 89.
89.
So...
Neither one of those artists were out.
Man, she's in the underground. Huh?
She's definitely in the underground. So
she was cutting edge.
She was ahead of the curve. So, J-Div, since you and I were talking about this, I guess more than anyone else before we came on, how do you feel about that, man? Like, how big is that blunder? Because that looks pretty stupid when you think about the hip-hop timeline. That's really stupid to say something like that.
It's hogwash.
Hogwash.
I'm going to use a term that me and some of my cats back in school used to use, TBL.
TBL.
Which is funny because that's actually popular now because of the Chris Brown situation. He made these shirts to say... this bitch lying. But real talk, we used to say TBL, like if we were in a situation and we didn't want anybody to know what we was talking about.
Yeah.
And somebody said something, we'd be like, TBL.
Oh, man. That's tough.
So we've been on that shit.
Okay.
We expect to check Chris Brown. But anyway, she on some bullshit. I mean, how were you listening to Tupac and Snoop in 86 or 89?
Right. Right.
It would have been different if she said Public Enemy or
it would
like Big Daddy Kane or
Rakim or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Chubb Rock.
Yeah. Shout out to Chubb Rock.
Tupac and Snoop.
Yeah. That's Snoop's
album came out in 93. 93, I believe. Yeah. Tupac's first album came out in 92, 93?
90, 91, maybe? 90, 91.
I want Tupacalypse Now. Yeah. Okay, yeah, Tupacalypse Now, because he was with Digital Underground, and he
right.
got his solo joint. But still, that's out of the reference of time she used.
Absolutely. Not close.
Yeah. yeah.
So that's pretty bad, man. So I don't know. I really don't know what to say about that one. That's tough.
She seems like Hillary 2.0.
She is.
Explain.
Do I have to?
I'm just saying the comparison based off.
I mean, just she seems like a corporate Democrat.
Okay.
I don't know.
She wears whatever hat you tell her to wear.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah, she is very centrist as far as a Democrat is concerned, which Hillary was as well. And I don't know how much, I'm curious to see if who gets the most push out of who the Democrats select as far as their running mate, if it's more progressive, you know, like along the Bernie's. Who yep. seems to have the most momentum as far as somebody that could run on that ticket, or somebody like Ms. Harris, or Mrs. Harris? I don't know.
I believe she's married.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about her, but I've yep. watched videos, and I'm, you know, she just, and then this stuff you guys are talking about now does not surprise me at all. I mean, she's
definitely tried to lock up young men that weren't at fault.
So she was a prosecutor, oh, wow. okay. right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She was a prosecutor? Yeah. Okay. I don't know a lot about her, you know, so, but from what I've seen, she just seems to fit into that mold of what a Hillary was. Now, again, that's just from the outside looking in, so I could be completely wrong, but okay. If y'all know more about her, please speak on her, because I'd like to know more about her. But
I'll be honest, I'm still trying to, I guess, get familiar. I'm to your point, I don't know everything, mm-hmm. just kind of going off what I saw. You know, from the Breakfast Club, that obviously is going to stand out when you're that far off, you know, making those types of comments. But I still have more research I would have to do myself, just in terms of her as a candidate. Skits, you got anything to say about that? Did it move you anyway, or what do you think?
I didn't see the interview, okay. hear the interview, or anything like that. But I will say, based on what you guys are talking about, the timeline's janky.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did check, and she graduated from high school in 81. So oh, man, my tough. First thought was, did she do something like Peace Corps? Was she off somewhere, like to where that timed up that way? But
right.
it doesn't seem like it. So,
and it's not even that she does like. I think the part that stands out when I'm making the Hillary comparison is that Hillary, you could just she was so transparent when she would go to shows like that, like trying to seem cool,
right.
And, like, it seems like she went there and just, like, throwing out random names, like, to try to seem cool.
I was going
to
say, didn't she bring hot sauce once?
It was just kind of like, well, you can just be yourself. It's all right. Yeah. You don't have to, you know.
Jump in there, Spools. I'm sorry.
I, unfortunately, as well, don't know a whole lot about all of this, but similar to what you guys have said, doesn't line up. And to the point Sean was making, probably doesn't help her chances of, you know, getting backed by the party.
It depends.
As far as a ticket, just because the Democrats tend to seem to be more, I don't know, and obviously more liberal. So stuff like that's going to resonate more, I think, with right. that party. So, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to see Cory Booker, maybe. I still like Cory Booker a lot as far as the Democrat, you know, possibly getting the nod to run. But that's all I have to say about that.
That's all I have to say about that. All right. Moving on. Let's go to Gucci. The Gucci brand has been in the news for selling a sweater. I believe it's called the Balaclava sweater. Retail $890 in stores.
It's $890. $890.
$890 spools.
Smackaroos.
No, that's insane.
That is
How
correct.
About that?
There's a picture of a young lady who's in that. It's a long sleeve joint. Cargo's all the way up, and it has the mouth is open. It has I don't want to say orange. What you guys call the color? Like a
it's red.
Reddish.
It's red.
It's just yeah. it's,
they're over exaggerated lips, right?
Yeah, around the mouth, and everybody's going crazy about that. Shout out to Floyd, because Floyd Mayweather, he clearly thought
I mean, he never gets the memo, so it's cool.
Bingo. Thank you, sir. But that joint was definitely offensive when I saw it. Francois Pinault, who's the CEO, said we're going to have to redouble the luxury branding cultural sensitivity training for our employees.
I'm tired of hearing about cultural sensitivity training.
Cultural sensitivity training.
Don't nobody need sensitivity training.
Hey, man.
We need some people in their right minds to get this shit right. I mean, why do we have to have this conversation every single year? If it's not Halloween,
yeah,
it's another time of year.
Yeah,
it's just not cool. It's not all right.
PSA: don't let do it blackface.
Go. Don't do that shit.
This is like a form of it.
Yeah, so. It's dumb. Why do we?
It's really crazy that we've done this at least two or three times. A kid in the ad a while back. We talked about that one. Like, it's crazy that this stuff is continuing to resurface. There are some people that I've seen online that are like, oh man, here we go, black people complaining about something again. And I'm like, how is this not offensive from an African-American standpoint? In my opinion, are people overreacting? I don't think so when you actually look at it for what it is. To me, it's blatant, it's obvious what's going on here, what's trying to be, you know, presented. And we've all talked about how this shit slips through a boardroom full of people that are making conscious decisions. Like, how does this happen? Right, so Skits, I want to come to you on this one. How did that one make you feel when you actually saw it?
You just really spoke to it. Like, there's a room of people. Like, somebody sat and looked at the designs, the sketches, all the, you know, the mock-ups.
Yep.
And probably had it on a mannequin and brought it in a room in front of people and probably had a human being put it on and look at it. And that entire room of people, or at least the majority and the people that make the decisions, the key decision makers, said,
yeah, it looks good.
That's okay.
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah, let's roll with that. That's going to sell.
Let's get it shipped out there to Harlem.
You know, no regard to anybody's feelings. Somebody, if not everybody in that room, knew that that would be problematic. But my guess is that major market, wherever most of those dollars are coming from, they were willing to take the hit.
Right.
What's crazy is a lot of those dollars actually come from black consumers.
Yeah.
Black people purchase and consume more goods and clothes and things like that than any other race.
I would agree.
Collectively.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and then they have Dapper Dan actually works for Gucci.
Shout out to Dapper Dan. Legend.
Definitely.
Always been associated with hip-hop.
But he wrote a letter in reference to that, saying that the director or whoever from Gucci is supposed to come down to Harlem and sit down and talk to him about the situation.
Mm.
What kills me is, to your point Skits, as far as there's a boardroom where this shit gets hashed out.
Yeah.
And nobody raised a flag about the situation at all. And one thing that actually rubs me completely the wrong way is when people see something like this happens,
mm-hmm,
and they want to voice their opinion as far as why they're going to continue to buy the shit. Nobody cares that you have the money to buy it. You know what I'm saying? That's cool. There's no problem with that. But for you to pretty much, it's almost just like insulting everybody that looks like you just to say, oh, I got the money, I'm going to buy it any damn way. I mean, I've seen people posting shit about Gucci, how they're still going to buy it and rock it or whatever. That shit's wild to me. And shout out to T.I. for actually starting a boycott, because he had a whole long post on his Instagram about
Big Soldier as well. I believe said he was going to.
Said he was getting rid of the infamous headband.
Yes.
And getting rid of the Gucci tattoo between his eyes.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's just one of them things. I'm not really mad, because I'm not surprised. I'm more mad at people that want to go out there and, like I said, keep on supporting this shit when it's made to destruct people that look like you.
I can dig it. Spools, jump in.
No, I think you guys have summed it up pretty well. I don't think I feel too differently. It, again, blows my mind that stuff like this can hit the market, you know,
yeah,
just because, again, of not even just the boardroom, but of all the steps taken, the drafts that are reviewed, and you know, just everybody's familiar with some sort of creative process, you know what I mean, like whether it's advertising or something, but it's nuts. And I think the whole, like, there's been like a flare, what I'll call like flare ups of blackface recently, because there was the politician in Virginia who came out and, you know, there were pictures of him at like a Halloween party in blackface, and then I think, and we'll probably talk about the Grammys later, but I think Katy Perry's shoes kind of look like black. And I just don't understand, like, why, like, it wasn't cool last year, it wasn't cool 10 years ago, it wasn't cool 50 years ago, and it's not going to be cool tomorrow. Like, let's just stop.
Hey, I seen something that was funny.
I just don't understand.
No offense to my white brethren here.
I'm already offended.
But somebody made a post. It was like,
that's tough.
It was like, white people want to paint everybody black, want to put black face on everybody except Jesus.
Yeah, wow. I saw that too.
Hey, that's just funny.
I have an interest. So I watched.
Shout out to the Evans household. Y'all will catch that if y'all know that.
Yeah, straight up.
Shout out to the Evans household.
Are you guys familiar with Sam Harris? I think he's a podcaster.
I don't think so.
I think his name's Sam Harris.
Perhaps you'll enlighten us.
I probably butchered his name, which is okay.
Okay.
He was on Joe Rogan's show recently, and so they were talking about cancel culture and stuff like that, and they were going back and forth about stuff, and the only reason I'm bringing that up, I'm probably butchered his name too, but anyways, they talked about the quote-unquote social justice warriors, and they talked about how people get enraged about stuff and how people get too enraged about stuff. And I think this incident here is a perfect example of why it's perfectly valid, one, for people to have feelings of why does this keep happen, number one. But two, this is why people continue to be, I don't want to necessarily say angry, but be direct about calling this stuff, you know, what it is. And there seems to be this like counter push from some people, majority white people, that seem to lean center left, to want to say, well, when is enough is enough, as far as, yeah, this happened in their past. Does this mean that we have to cancel their life? Blase, blase, blah. And the only thing that I'm going to say continually about this is that there has to be some level of accountability for these companies and for these people, in my opinion, for them to get over it. I may have done some shit in my past. I don't know. Possibly. Potentially. If something pops up, and I'll be like, oh shit, I did that. Cool. I'm probably going to be accountable about it and call it out, and then I'm going to take it for what it is, right?
Right.
But I'm also from the standpoint that I feel like all white people are racist, but we've been there.
We have.
So anyways.
It's a tremendous point.
Yeah. So I feel like the overlap that we're missing here is that I feel like white people get too sensitive sometimes about being called racist or about calling a racist act what it is, rather than just accepting the fact that, yes, this is racist. This is what it is. Accept it. Try to do better.
And learn from it.
And stop trying to deflect from the fact that it is racist. Like,
yeah.
Why do you need to argue that? Why are we arguing the subtle points of what it is? Just because your feelings are hurt a little bit that we're talking about racism.
Everybody wants to do the racist acts without being called racist.
Right. That's a very good point.
It's a great point, Sean. Like, yeah. There is rarely, I will say, do you see someone just come out? And I think the guy from Virginia, and again, I don't know a ton about it, but I think he actually did. But rarely do you see someone say, you know what? That was wrong.
Like, yeah. Yeah,
I was an idiot,
right?
Or just even say something to the effect, go even deeper. That didn't necessarily reflect my feelings then, and it certainly doesn't now. About, you know, but people typically, in my opinion, into what you just said, don't own it like that,
right?
And become like we saw with the kid in the game with the basketball game, the Center Grove kid, and against Cathedral.
Oh, right. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
He didn't just come out, you know. People owning things, man. In my opinion, even if you're so. Even just from a PR standpoint, in my opinion, it seems to let things go a lot more too. Like from just owned it, you know. But aside from that, from just a general human being standpoint, it's just the right thing to do. And to the point made before, like I think this things like this might be brought up less, and maybe I'm wrong, if people did just fucking own it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this, you know, I mean, this overlaps into the Liam Neeson thing as well, a little bit as well.
Yeah.
You know, you guys familiar with that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect at the end of the day, right? We all make mistakes. I mean, Sean made a great point. Like, but if you can prove that you've, you know, that's not, you know, if you're confident in the fact that you're not that person and you can show that through action, not through just telling someone.
Right. It's not just
everybody in this room has done something foul. You know what I mean? But, you know, if you own it.
I think there's levels to owning it too. I think just saying, oh, I'm sorry is one thing. But is it really an apology if you're just because you know what I mean? Like, and there
that Spools hit the nail on the head when he said action with. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, that's part of being accountable. It's not. It's not just apologizing. It's being accountable for your actions. What are you doing to make me feel like this isn't who you are now?
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, but
that's a damn good point, man. That you just made. That's actually those are bars. Right.
Because at the end of the day, we all want to believe people can become better and change. Right.
For sure. True. We have to.
Yeah. True.
So, I think you have to. I think at the end of the day, most people want to give people that chance. But for a lot of folks, I think you have to kind of earn it.
Sure.
And being accountable, I think, is how you earn that.
I mean, and I feel like if the argument is made, I saw another argument along those lines that was like the left tends to not want to give, let's say, this senator the benefit of the doubt or Gucci or whoever, whatever. But they also are okay with prison justice reform, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they are going through reform legitimately for things that they're doing. So it's like, anyways.
Yep. At the end of the day, yep.
So speaking on that this senator, the thing that happened was in a yearbook in like the 70s, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I think he said that he was actually, oddly enough, he went as Curtis Blow.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
Well,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew that was.
Yeah.
Yes, he went as Curtis Blow.
Okay.
So that's who Kamala, what's her name, was actually
probably listening to. Yeah.
I'm curious with this conversation. How do you guys feel about the Liam Neeson thing? How do you feel about his, like, did you take it the way that, like, he hates black people? Because he
I wouldn't take it like that. I take it as somebody that was, it was a friend that was, what was she, beat up or something?
Raped.
She was raped. Yeah, she was raped.
And I guess the description was a black male, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I think for him to have to specify it, and I'm trying to, because it was almost like he was picking somebody random.
Yeah.
And saying a black bastard or whatever the hell he said. That in itself to me, even if it's said out of anger, does have a little bit of a racist connotation to it. You know what I'm saying? Whether he meant it that way or not, and then for him to go on record and say it too.
There you go. Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's
we've all said, you know, things out of anger, out of frustration, the heat of the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've all done that. We're all guilty of that. But to Terry's point, when we talk about going on record, you know, to, you know, revisit and actually say that you said this, like, that's the part.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of tough. Skids, jump in. Did you have any thoughts on?
To me, he's being accountable by saying that.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. I'm not mad at that.
To an extent. Agreed.
I'm not mad at that. Skids, jump in.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, it's, I'm not going to say I can knock anybody's feelings when a loved one suffers from something like that.
Right.
So I try to have some understanding on that level. But, you know, yeah, it definitely has a racist tone. But is that uncommon?
Mm.
No, it's not uncommon. I mean, white folks do it to black folks. Black folks do it to white folks. You know, growing up, my father, like, my dad called Hindus bug eaters. Like,
I mean, that type of shit.
Like,
yeah,
we all do it. So what I did is I immediately jumped to trying to think through it from his perspective. And I just started to randomly think about some shit. And it was like, all these Taken movies. I wonder if, like, that on top of what he talked about doing was therapeutic for him.
Mm. I never thought about it like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that was just my random thought. I said, damn, I wonder if he, like, he did three of them, right?
I believe there are three. I saw one and two.
I just started with some understanding. I just tried to think, and I was like, I just wondered, you know?
Yeah.
I wonder if those movies in some way were intentionally or unintentionally, indirectly therapeutic for him because of the structure of those films. Like, if he felt any guilt from what happened to that friend of his or anything like that. So, yeah, it was fucked up what he said, but transparency. If he doesn't say that the first time, somebody goes digging, then he looks worse.
There you go.
You appreciate him coming out and being that transparent and honest about that up front.
And he obviously didn't say it in the most elegant way.
Right.
But if he had said it more elegantly, it's still really kind of the same thing.
It's kind of levels, though, to transparency.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, like, you had, like, if you go down south, you know what I'm saying, everybody that has family down south know that there's certain parts of town still to this day that you can't go to without being called out of your name. And people are going to say exactly what they feel about you.
I got plenty. And that's
being transparent, but that's not a good form of transparency, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then you have people. There's a lot of people being real transparent with this current president in office as well. So there's kind of levels, in my opinion, to transparency and people being forthright and saying what they really feel. You know what I'm saying? I mean, me personally, I would rather somebody let me know what they really feel so I know how to act and maneuver.
Sure.
But at the same time, it still doesn't make it cool or right.
Where's he from? Does anybody know?
I do not. I'd have to look it up. I do not know.
I don't.
Where he's from.
Europe.
That's what I mean. I know he's European, so I don't know if there's...
Spools, can you put a ball on that one, and then we can go ahead and get into a little bit of music. Did you have any
The part that, I guess the only thing that stood out to me, and Jay Moore was talking about this too before we started tonight, but it was it wasn't for him. I guess that kind of hatred coming from anybody is just kind of it's disappointing and it's disheartening. Right. So it wasn't like I want to kill the guy that did it, or I want to kill a rapist. I just don't to me, as someone who's not ever really, who just doesn't think that way like that. Like, I've had friends who've been murdered by black people, but I never wanted to go kill a black person.
Right.
Maybe in my anger, I wanted to kill the person who killed my friend.
So did he?
Do you follow what I'm saying? That's the part that's just disheartening.
Maybe I'm a little confused. When he said, was he just roaming the streets looking for anybody black?
Yes.
Or was he looking
for that? That's pretty much what he
said. That's how it came off to me.
So maybe I'm misinterpreting that a little bit. I thought he just was in referencing that person.
That's the reason
why I would say it wouldn't have been racist, in my opinion, if he was specifically talking about that person.
That person.
I see.
But when he's saying just random anybody,
black
bastard.
That's different.
That's the part that made it a little tough for me.
That's way different.
It's wild to me, man. And Mike, I think you said this, and I think it's correct, or maybe it was Skits, but I think this was just him getting out in front of something that could potentially happen with what's going, with more and more things coming out about people. So
I stand corrected.
I don't, right.
Yeah, same here. I'm not forgiving that shit.
Yeah, it's wild.
Hey,
that's him getting out in front of something.
Those are all interesting takes, especially with Skits on that point about the movie roles and the, possible correlation with that. I never thought about that. So, yeah, that's good stuff right there. Let's go ahead and jump into some music. Shout out to North Memphis, South Memphis, Beale Street, County Seat. Did I get everything?
Orange Mound.
Shout out to Orange Mound. Philly, we see you.
I think Sarah and I are actually maybe looking to go down to Memphis in May.
Nice. Oh,
yeah, we're talking about it today.
When you get down there, tell them, we don't want no problems. Make sure you excuse loan.
Mike doesn't want any problems.
And,
mine's Philly, not Memphis.
Oh, you dissed Philly. Who dissed Memphis?
No one's ever dissed Memphis.
I dissed Memphis. I did, because I was talking about how they say
moves. You're just scared of them.
You also just said that.
Why are you so scared, Mike?
Project Pat doesn't have any good music.
Yeah, he's probably got 10% good music, 90% trash.
All right, let's just go in.
Like, yeah, we're going to go ahead and spools. Thanks, bro.
That's why we shout out Memphis.
Yeah, so shout out to Memphis. A Ball MJG, we see you. All right, so here's a This is something I posted on one of my social media accounts. Lone and I engaged a little bit in this one.
I don't think you qualified.
I might not be. We'll find out. But Skits being here, I think this is perfect show for you to be here, brother, because I'm coming to you first. I want to hear your opinion. I know where Lone is. Mm-hmm. Lone's going to shoot some bullets at me, too. But
I'm not with the violence.
I feel you. I'm not violent.
You hold that thing, Mike?
I know I'm not. I don't have a thing. I know there's people that do, but I don't have a thing. But I don't, I'm not a street dude, so I'm
Thuggish, ruggish Chamberlain, bro. Be careful.
Look here, man. I ain't in them streets. Man. I stay out of my motto is I stay out of grown folks' business, man. That's what I do. But
coming out, it's coming.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But we were talking about the idea or the concept of conscious rap. Mm-hmm. You know, what defines or how do you categorize conscious rap? What would you use as an example? Who qualifies as such? Like, we had this conversation. Lone had some good points. And, you know, we just through conversation, we going back and forth doing a little sparring. And what brought this up was a friend of mine told me that Big Crit, he would label Big Crit conscious, as a conscious artist. Now, my post, when I posted that, a few people started coming on. These are all credible people. We talk about music all the time. It's subjective. But to me, in my opinion, Public Enemy, you know, Poor Righteous Teachers, Arrested Development, those are groups that are, I would say, that would lean more towards conscious because there's no variation in their content. Like, there is no song about the strip clubs on their album. But on Big Crit's album, what I love about him is I think he makes people music. He'll take you from the church to the strip club to his grandmother to his parents to growing up in Meridian. Like, with me, when it's I listen
country
to
country rap tunes,
stuff that the everyday person can relate to. With Public Enemy, it was like, this is what we about every single time, and there was no variation in the content.
X-Clan,
good one, X-Clan. So
Dead Prez,
shout out to Dead Prez. There's another one. So I'm coming to you, Skits. In terms of the concept of conscious rap, like, do we misuse that? Is it easy to just label someone conscious because they storytell or because they, you know, don't talk about the norm? Like, I feel like that's what happens a lot. If you don't talk about the norm, you don't talk about the stuff that's popular. In this era, you're automatically deemed conscious. I don't agree with that. What is conscious rap to you?
I'm going to give you a pass.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to play the devil's advocate.
Please do.
Honestly, like, conscious rap is the opinion of the user.
Okay.
I think really what happened is that conscious rap initially, when it was first called conscious rap, was Poor Righteous Teachers, was X-Clan, was those type of power statements to elevate and motivate you and give you some takeaways, like something, life lessons or something.
Would you say Native Tongues as well? Yeah. Kinda. They had more fun though.
Yeah, so, but I mean,
so you can't, they were free spirits.
Yeah,
Public Enemy didn't have no fun. Like, they just, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, there is no
right.
There's no fun. It's like, this is what we about. We are stomping on stage.
I think that was grill. Their fun though.
The spectrum is covered.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was just talking about this yesterday, and I would say that, you know, just as an example of. I was talking to a friend of mine, son was listening to Imagine Dragons. I was like, then tried to get Whoop, There It Is to play. And then Sucker for Pain came on.
Okay.
Because Shorty likes Suicide Squad.
Okay.
So I started to talk to him if he knew about Logic. He didn't know anything about Logic. He was more concerned with other shit. But at any rate, He's a prime definition of what conscious rap and hip hop could be today. Okay. And mainly because from thank you Netflix for allowing me to watch that little documentary and joint.
Mass, you know,
I knew some things. I knew some things about him, but after watching that, I went into a little more detail and I realized how many kids he's talked off the ledge.
Was that series called Rapture? Okay, yes. We'll double check. Make sure we're talking about the same thing.
But like the number of kids that have come forth and talked about how his music has talked them off the ledge or reduced that anxiety towards suicide and, you know, things like that. So, you know, I think it depends on the generation.
Okay.
You know, it's evolved. Mm-hmm. You know, it definitely has many more layers now. Sure. And that's why I say it's up to the user at this point. It's whatever the user and the listener takes away from, you know, from listening to it.
Yeah.
It started out in a silo, and I think now it's expanded much more into it can be manipulated, and not in a bad way.
Right.
It just depends. Whatever's bothering you, whatever you need, whatever that music brings out of you or gives to you.
Right.
I mean, there's people that are in that lane, but I think everybody should be allowed to make that determination, you know. And I think there's a lot of opportunities to make it conscious for you. Everybody's trying to motivate somebody in some way.
True.
You know, by making music. So it just depends on what you attach to.
You know, Lone and I talked about this where we were initially talking about this, about how subjective music is. We talk about that all the time on the show, though. Like, it's really, to Skits' point, about how you take it, how you consume it. So I dig that 100%. Lone, jump in. What's your thoughts? We've talked about it, but just, you know. So
yeah, no, I agree with what Skit says, because I feel like nobody is conscious 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. You know, like people, or let me actually address that a little better. My argument was simply that, what are we defining as conscious?
Right.
You know, are we saying that because, and the logic point was perfect, because to all those kids that watch him and get something from him, that's extremely conscious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like Public Enemy.
Not at all.
You know
not
what I mean? And so, like, I feel like that term has been, I don't want to necessarily say misused over the years, but it kind of has. Because I remember in the mid-2000s when people would call, like, Common conscious and stuff like
that.
Black Star. I'm like, yeah, okay. But it almost had, like, a negative connotation to it. Like, like, you're not allowed to have fun. You're not allowed to have, like, anything other than this message that you want to push out all the time. And I'm just like, just because they have other songs about other things in their life, it means they're not conscious anymore. That's just dumb to me.
I feel you.
And so I think maybe the term itself is just not accurate.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
Shout out to Miss Fat Booty. It's like, definitely,
because of Miss Fat Booty, Mos Def is not a conscious rapper.
Right.
Right.
I think what some people misconstrue or misinterpret are soulful artists. They automatically consider them as a conscious artist because they're not having fun all the time. So you have artists that every song is fun, and I'm doing this, I'm in a club, I'm doing drugs, I'm fucking girls. Everything is that fun. And a lot of people that listen to music would rather say that things that are, or content that actually has some substance to it, is automatically conscious.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that goes to Sean's point as far as people misusing the word conscious. Because it is true, back in our day, when we were kids, X-Clan, Public Enemy, Black Sheep, even Black Sheep had party songs. I mean, get with this, get with that. That's a party song.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
But these were considered conscious rappers. I think you had even mentioned Tribe Called Quest at one point, but we kind of dismantled that argument as far as them being conscious.
No, I said they weren't. I was saying I couldn't label them as conscious.
All right.
That was my take on them.
And then my rebuttal is, what's conscious mean?
I mean,
because Miss Fat Booty is conscious rap to me.
Because it tells a story.
He's
consciously telling a story. But what people do, though, especially a lot of people that don't really know hip hop and know music like that.
Yeah.
They always, if anybody's telling a story or something that you literally have to follow along with, it's automatically assumed that it's conscious.
Right.
Which is not the truth.
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all. Like, Bonita Applebaum, there's nothing conscious about that to me.
I left my wallet in El Segundo.
There's nothing conscious about that. Electric Relaxation.
The conscious part of that is him realizing that he left his wallet in El Segundo.
But to me, that's not, you know, Welcome to the Terror Dome. Like, you know what I'm saying? No. Like, it's not that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, yeah. I get, and to both of y'all points, y'all both made the point about generational. Maybe that's the case. Maybe I'm thinking from when I came up, what I saw as, you know, conscious rap versus how it is, how it it has evolved now. Because someone was like, yo, you really could say Kendrick could be, today he could be labeled as conscious, perhaps. Who am I to say that he might not, right? Like, it's all subjective. I get it. I guess I'm thinking in terms of, again, what I said when we initially started about the lack of or no variation in the content. When you look at the groups that I named, because so they stay
define that even further. Let's take away conscious because it's a general term. What are they talking about in those songs?
Everything that was Public Enemy to me was pro black, or the words you use, militant. When we were on we were talking on Facebook, like everything was that.
Yeah, so
like,
that's what. So perhaps the term conscious would be better used as a trait and not as an overall label for a person for a song.
I could dig that.
And secondarily, and Sean, this is, you touched on this, and to kind of bring, I don't know if you were headed this way, but this is what I wanted to say. Conscious of what?
That's like, exactly what I said.
You know, what is someone making you conscious of? For a lot of people, you look at groups that you haven't, you look at people like Brand Nubian, and you look at groups like KMD, they were making people very conscious of black history. And things that perhaps you weren't taught in school and stuff like that. So I think anyone who was Afrocentric at one point, it was maybe labeled conscious, but that didn't necessarily, like, all of KMD's songs weren't about race or anything like that. You know what I mean? But they were from a, you know, from a Afrocentric standpoint, very conscious, you know. Arrested Development would be another example of that. But, you know, conscious of what? Politically conscious. Immortal Technique is extremely politically conscious.
100%.
But I think that's, you know, again, I think that that term is probably, again, better. Like, when you said Big Crit's not a conscious rapper, it's almost to me like a trite argument to make.
Okay.
Like, who cares? Because he makes conscious songs. But does he have to be a conscious rapper? You know what I mean? Who gives a shit? At the end of the day, he's just a really talented guy who I've heard make, to your point, and the reason I also enjoy him is he can make the whole, he runs the whole gambit.
Yeah.
I wonder if this was started along the lines, when do you think you guys first started hearing conscious rapper pop up? Was it when, like, the South started making noise and they've wanted to distinguish themselves?
No, I heard it before that.
Was it way before that?
Yeah, I heard people using the term conscious rapper early 90s. Like, so before the Southern Surge even came about, people were talking about they were conscious and kind of like the, I know this is funny, but like the character we were just talking about on In Living Color.
Oh,
that's in jail.
Yeah, Damon Wayans' character in jail.
When
he's
reading all these big words and shit. Yeah. He was pretty much making fun of the conscious-esque type person back then. You know what I'm saying? So,
it's almost like anytime a song or someone's trying to maybe teach something or it's a little bit more serious, all of a sudden it gets labeled that, which I think is kind of silly and, again, trite.
So
I definitely remember a time when it was almost like, especially where I was from, and maybe the online boards that I was at the time, everybody would kind of like talk down, especially if you're extra underground.
Yep.
You know, if you're not extra underground, you know, oh, well, they're not saying anything. But it was almost like an argument against Southern music. And Little Brother kind of parodied it a little bit with all the stuff they put out.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. Like the South has something to say, even all the way back to, you know, what was that, Outkast?
Yeah,
Source
Awards.
You know what I mean? So what year was that?
93.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, like, it obviously that was going on back then if he has to make that statement.
No doubt.
So maybe there's something there. I don't know.
I want to come back to Skits. Go ahead, Skits. I'm sorry. You had a point. Go ahead.
Social issues.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have this like down as a fact, but it just seems that it was birthed. Conscious rap was birthed based on social issues.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think you look at the first socially conscious song I can think of is Grandmaster Flash. Okay. The Message. It's like 83. You know,
it's also one of the first songs that talks about mental health.
Yeah. Yep.
Good point.
It does.
Good point.
But that's, you know, to your point, Skits, social issue. I mean, that song is focused on social issues. So
yeah.
The artist to me that it, I guess, is the poster child for which way do we go when we talk about conscious versus whatever? Or at least stands out in my opinion is Tupac. Because Tupac, if you think about Jeezy, you think about all these guys that focus on his thug life tat, right? Oh, his thug life, Pac,
it
bandana,
was an
thug life. Right, but what I'm saying, that's my point. But
well, people missed that part.
There was a meaning behind everything that dude did. Mm-hmm. So you think about when he came out, we talk about the video for Trapped, in the jail cell, the cameras moving around, all that. It's like, that's the same guy that he evolved and you know, had, you know, what's your phone number? He had I Get Around and all that. So he's the guy that I always think about.
Had Keep Your Head Up.
There we go. So he's the guy that I always think about. It's like, yo.
On the same album.
On the same album. So
and,
what
can. And he used the word evolved.
He did evolve. Yeah. Public Enemy ain't evolved, though. They like 55 years old, still talking about the same
thing. But Pac
thing.
Actually, Pac mixed those genres or different types of rap on every album he had.
Right.
Even on Machiavelli, where he's talking about killing everybody.
Definitely had Toss It Up.
Still Crazy on there.
Crazy, yep.
You know what I'm saying? Crazy, to me, is one of the best songs I've ever heard. Like, if you literally sit down and listen to what he's saying in that,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's conscious as fuck.
Yeah. I'm with you. I ain't mad at you there. Hmm. Me Against the World. Yeah, Temptations.
Man, that whole album.
That whole album, right?
Now, what? Apocalypse was the more militant, political type conscious.
Heavy.
Right.
You're right. Heavy. Yeah. I agree 100%. But to Lone's point, there was, you know, there was evolution in his discography as he continued to grow.
Right.
You want to jump in, Skits, anything on Pac in terms of just what we're talking about or nah? He's like, nah.
Pac. I mean.
I ain't know. I said it like one of them dudes that was about that thug life, huh? Pac.
No, I'm actually just enjoying it. I mean, I love everything about Pac, so I don't. I'm just absorbing it. Y'all ain't said nothing bad about him, so y'all safe.
It's not gonna happen here.
He's waiting for somebody to get out of the pocket, huh?
Sure was. Sure was.
Speaking of conscious rap,
yeah,
Cardi B is conscious.
Yeah, Spools almost spit his water on
just like, you. Know, just like that was probably the best transition we've ever had.
Yeah. I felt
Spools
it.
Almost spit his water out on that.
I felt what Lone was about to do.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Lone.
I hope so.
Yo, man, that's classic. That's timeless, by the way. Anyway,
this is what you wanted to talk about, the meat and potatoes.
Well, you know,
let's talk about them.
We
man.
Can't even
Grammys.
We can't really go too far because you know we run out of time. But,
we got out of time in the world.
Yeah, I thought with Cardi B winning.
We own our own publisher, Mike.
See you, Lone, with that business. I see you. Cardi B winning Rap Album of the Year as a woman. She's first to ever do that.
Congrats.
Congrats to her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She had, to Terry's point, we were talking about this earlier, multiple hit records, right? So reward how you want to reward. We've talked about the Grammys, we've talked about the criteria, we've talked about that before.
Every one of her songs that she's came out with
definitely
charted.
Yep.
Since Bodak Yellow,
in my opinion, Nipsey Hussle had the best album last year.
For
what we would, I guess,
the
I'm not
Source
gonna say
Awards
we, me,
don't exist anymore.
They do not. But Nipsey Hussle to me, and everybody talks about, well, you know, Cardi was this, she had the baby, and it took a while, and this thing. I'm like, Nipsey took 5 years to make this album. So the time.
I mean, Nipsey's album is better than Cardi's
way better.
Album.
But I always tell people, I
Cardi's
get why
is more
she
commercially
won.
Successful.
Right.
And successful. I feel like.
Commercially.
Commercially successful, right. But I feel like his album could be just as commercially prominent if he was Cardi B.
Well, if he had mainstream singles, mm-hmm. Because the masses aren't able to consume a Nipsey Hussle, but the masses all know who Cardi B is.
Some of those records on Victory Lap though could be pushed.
Listen,
though,
listen what I'm saying.
That.
Listen what I'm saying. Cardi B is a personality.
True.
Cardi B is in your face when you turn on the TV. Now you're gonna see her on a Pepsi commercial. If you've never seen Cardi B before in your life,
yeah,
you're gonna see her on a Pepsi commercial. You're going to see her talking about what's the latest thing she had talked about? Something to do with President Trump.
Tommy Lauren. Dog Walk Tommy Lauren.
She's in your face. She started out on TV. She has a internet prominence. no social media prominence.
Yep.
Yeah.
She fits the mode of what's popular right
she's
now.
She's just a popular being. Yeah. She is that embodiment, which is why they had her win this year, most likely. It's my guess. Grammy's supposed to be about the music, but we've already talked about this.
Yeah.
I mean, you have people that are on a board that vote on who gets these awards. So it doesn't even matter what we think.
At all.
Because there's a bunch of men or women.
We can apply to be on that board if we want.
Yeah, but I think you have to have a certain number of songs charting or something in order to be a...
I don't know.
Make a chart.
I know people that are on that board.
Yeah, I do too.
And they don't have any... I know some people that don't have any songs.
Huh. Yeah. I know a couple people that don't have any songs.
Do they have credits on songs?
I don't think
so. I know one person that doesn't have any credits on any records that is definitely on that board.
And I also know that... Are you talking about the media person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on the board. So, I don't know. I don't know.
It costs to be on it.
I believe that. I don't know what the tag is, what the ticket is, but I believe that. Skits, you got anything to say about her winning, Best Rap Album? Is there going to be a...
Well, her won Best R&B Album.
Dang, I like that. I see you.
And what J-Rock win?
J-Rock won...
He won for the collab with Future.
But what did he win, though?
Yeah, I don't know. What
rap
is the name of his...
Rap
is that what
performance,
it is?
I believe.
Kendrick, and Future.
Yeah, rap performance.
Really? They had to pick that one?
King's Dead.
They picked that
That's
one.
A hard song, though.
That song...
Except for...
Minus
Future's
Future.
Part is trash.
Yeah, except for Future's song.
I'm too old for that. Skits, jump in. You got anything to say about Cardi B winning Rap Album of the Year? Anything,
Well, first and foremost, congratulations
yes,
to her,
sir.
For real.
Yes, sir. I agree 100%.
She is the first woman to ever win that award.
That is a fact.
But
historic.
Her timing couldn't have been any better. Mm. I'm not going to say any names, but she definitely came in and slowly started to fill a fading void, in that particular area.
That's a fact.
And she hasn't taken the whole thing, but she got a good bit of that crater, and she's planted flowers and put up a couple little pop-ups and all. I mean she's doing it.
That's
and
a fact.
Some points at
I
us.
Mean that you can't even say she rode the wave. Like, she's her own wave now.
Absolutely.
Like
100%.
I mean, she just did it, and the timing was right, and she's hot. And I will say, like, the angle from the previous filler, that the ratchets can now get down.
The ratchets can now get down. Yeah.
Shout out to the
more
city girls.
the more gutter, listener can now
be empowered.
When she tried to twerk, she lost it. The stiff buns on the twerk.
Okay.
Who we talking about?
That's not gangster.
Who we talking about?
That's not gangster. That's not
about Nikki.
You lost it. I said I wasn't saying no names.
I'm not going to shoot any darts at Nikki because it's funny.
Not to.
It's funny. Well, I'm not saying that you are per se, but it's almost like everybody that was Nikki fans.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm Team Cardi. Why can't you like both of them?
You can.
I do.
Well, not you.
No, I know.
I'm talking about in general. There's a lot of people out
Cardi.
BET is actually in hot water because after Cardi
won,
a tweet was sent out that says something negative towards Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj decided
that she's not performing at any BET events this summer.
It's the patriarchy in a sense where we can only have one woman in that power seat at a time.
That shit cray.
Right?
We talked about that shit too the episode. I can't remember which one, but we definitely addressed that. And it's just weird that they can't coexist in the same space.
Right.
And people can't root for both of them. You know what I'm saying? Nicki has never won a Grammy amongst a lot of other artists who you shared in a post. But that's common, though. We know that. There's artists now that aren't even submitting their albums for Grammy consideration because, to Drake's point, he got up there and won an award and said, you don't need this.
You see how fast they cut him off?
Yeah, they cut him off because he was up there actually telling the truth.
He was telling the truth.
He was like, if you have fans in your state and city and all over the world and people are buying tickets to come out and see you, you don't need this award.
Yeah.
You already won.
They cut him off with the
quickness. They cut him off because he was telling the truth.
Yeah. That's true.
It's God's plan.
It is.
Yo, man, y'all get your boy, man. Get your boy. J-Diff, get your boy.
It's a fact.
Spools, what do you think? Well, I was coming to you, Spools. Congrats to Cardi B, man. That's an awesome thing for her to have won. Also, congrats to Anderson .Paak for winning the Grammy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Anderson .Paak.
I think another one or his first. I don't know. Guy's incredibly talented.
Facts.
And congrats to him, too.
Word.
Yo, that's gangster, man.
I guess I'm done.
All right, man. So, is there anything else that I've missed?
Oh, Snoop didn't win that gospel, though.
Oh man, that would have been
we
dope.
We talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that would have been
that
dope.
Gospel boy, but
yeah,
he's still Grammy-less.
How many joints is on that album, man? 25, 30 lot. Joints.
Young Thug won a Grammy.
Yeah, he did. Bless his heart. Shout out to the Criteria.
Indeed.
All right, so Future's a Grammy winner. Shout out to Young Thug. All right, so is there anything that I'm missing? Anybody got anything popping before we wrap it up?
I have... What do I have this week? Oh, Neo Soul Paint Night.
Nice.
At Char Blue Saturday.
What time?
That is from 6:30 to 9:30, I believe. Where is it? 7? Somewhere in there.
We're not on the bill, so I don't know what time it starts.
Well, nobody's on the bill.
Okay, so when does it start?
6:30.
Who's hosting it? I don't know. You think somebody that was a part of it would know the time?
I mean,
this
is only like the 20th time I've done it, Mike.
And you still don't know the time.
Listen,
that's what I'm talking
6:37.
About. 6:37.
Okay, you know how it goes.
I do. You're right. I apologize.
Come on.
Lo-fi hip hop night is the same night.
It is
7 to 10 at Patron Saint.
Word. Anybody else got anything?
Hey,
missing?
Real quick, if you're listening and you don't have anything to do for Valentine's Day, this is a great experience for you to come out to the Neo Soul Paint Night. You can actually paint a canvas of you and your significant other or yourself or whatever you want to create. You can definitely paint your cat. Word. You're going to get like a paint kit. You're going to be able to become a Picasso overnight. Mm. Mike, no. Or not this Mike, but... Camera Mike, no. He was there.
I like how he reduced you to Camera Mike. Can I start calling you that?
Oh,
shout
man.
Out to the homie Camera Mike.
You can be Picasso or Johnny the third grader.
Word.
Yeah. Straight up. And I'm playing some good ass music, so.
Word. Believe that. What's up?
Good time. Red right. August. He knows what's up, man.
Shout out to the team for longevity, DJ J Diff. / Bob Ross, the homie Skits, we appreciate you. DJ Spools, Camera Mike, we see you. Jay Moore is in the building as well. This is episode 120. It's a wrap. We'll see y'all next week.
Don't rap yet.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
George Crumb, Black History Month fact. If you like potato chips, did you know George Crumb created the potato chip?
Wow.
I did not know that.
Black man created the potato chip. Yo, March is Disability Awareness Month.
I'm with that.
Represent.